Kia ora, Tassie Bros. We are back with episode 37 of Chat with the Hat. I'm your host, Dave, and this is my non-Kiwi millennial mate, Rowan.
How's it going, guys? Good to be back again. It was a fun weekend of motorsport, plenty of action and plenty to talk about. So strap in, guys, because this might be a little bit long, this one.
We've just lost
JB.
He's getting old and tired. he's had a big week in the GT4s last weekend. So we all went off to New Zealand for the first time at the Taupo track, which brought with it a whole bunch of unknowns. And now we know what those unknowns are. And I think that was a big tick. Just in general, just start off the top of the hat, just big tick.
100%. That was, I had some reservations, as we talked about on the potty last week. Wasn't sure the layout of the track was going to be much good for passing and racing, but boy, was I proven wrong, because that was a hell of an entertaining weekend of supercars and plenty of action all up and down the field. So yeah, big tick for Taupo. Even on the Saturday as well, the crowds on that sold out crowds on the Saturday. You thought that the rain was going to keep a few of them away, but looking on television, that place was packed.
It was, man. But we'll get all to that. But we've got to talk about the real news, the breaking news. Bike gate. Come on, what's happening with your bike?
Yeah, well, it's not. Don't think the old one's coming back, unfortunately. So it's
haven't found it.
Put up some posters and put up some set a lot of posts around the socials and things like that, and just absolutely nothing back. So I'm pretty sure that someone's probably taken it and taken all the noticeable bits off it. And it's a black BMX at its core. So if they take the wheels off it and take the seat off it, that was the noticeable bit. So it's just another black BMX getting around town. So I've decided to call in a favor from Mumsy Dearest and the family. Got the 40th birthday coming up this year, so I thought I'll see if they want to chip in and get me a new one for my birthday, and I'll be purchasing her tomorrow. So
I think I might have to give your mum a call and see if we can get you a car license instead.
Yeah, no, don't want a car, mate. They're too bloody expensive. So
that's true. That's true.
But as much as I love cars and I love motorsport, I live in the inner city. I do not need a car. They are just a scourge on your wallet, and I don't really want that. I like to spend my money on other things.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Oh well, good to see you're going to be back on two wheels.
Yeah, it'd be good. So
pedal
nice.
Power.
What's she called? A GT mountain bike. So,
well, you are a little greeny at heart, aren't you? So if you go do the environmental bit, just pedal
damn,
around.
Damn straight, mate. All the way.
All right.
I'm an anomaly in the motorsports community, that's for sure.
You actually are. You're running a supercars motorsport based podcast, and you don't have a car.
don't have a car.
Don't drive.
Vote Greens.
Yeah, too good. Too good. All right. So, anything else happened over the weekend? Anything exciting apart from you're going to get a new birthday present? The 40-year-old virgin's getting a bike. But
not a lot really. Just had a pretty relaxing weekend. So we didn't do much at all. Went out and done a bit of op shopping on Sunday afternoon. Got some new pants. But other than that, that was pretty much it.
Very cool. All right. Well, I headed off to New Zealand for the weekend. Some of you might have known that it was a bit of a hard mission to get there, having airline tickets cancelled and not even having a ticket, as it turned out, to get into the circuit to a sold-out event. Yeah, that was my Ticket Tech New Zealand account didn't process the transaction. So I've been for the last 2 months thinking, yeah, no dramas, I've got my ticket. Nah. Nope, no ticket. So luckily one of the guys over there couldn't make it, and I managed to organize one on Thursday, just as I was attending. I was flying over. I was actually in New Zealand, and then the ticket was organized. So we had flights delayed. We had flights canceled. We ended up staying in Auckland overnight. We were supposed to be at Taupo on Thursday, but we didn't get there till Friday. Air New Zealand were wonderful.
nice snazzy hotel room for the
I
night there by the
know.
look of things. So
Air New
yeah.
Zealand put us up at the Pullman for the night. That was a bit special. We played rich people for the night. So Uncle Steve and I went over together. And we basically had, we were at the mercy of the airlines. Nothing we could do about it. So we still got there on Friday morning. We weren't that far later than what we would have normally been. So that was all good. We got there eventually. Hit the track, had our first look at it on a Friday. There was just mountains of grandstands. They put so much infrastructure in for this weekend. Apparently the track holds 10,000 people normally, just in general, and they had catered for 23,000 through
Ish.
grandstands,
Yeah.
ish, ish, between 20 and 23.
Do you know what the overall numbers were for the weekend?
67,500
Over the weekend, that's not bad.
3 days. Over 3 days. And I met a bunch of people because, Friday still had tickets available, but not for the weekend. They still had some Friday GAs. I met people who had driven down 4 hours from Auckland just for the Friday
Nice.
because that's the only opportunity they have. They have a choice of one thing. And if they can't go for the weekend, they can go for Friday. And they did. Friday was
Nice.
chockers.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Motorsports is definitely alive and well in New Zealand, and it's good to be back there. And Taupo was definitely a good pick by the action on the weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, we were worried, like you said at the start, off the top, that the circuit is tight. We're not familiar with it. Some of the drivers went over there for a shakedown a couple of weeks ago, and that first sector, turns two, three, four, five. That doubles back six, seven, and then it doubles back on itself again, then shoots off down the back before you come back at 11 on the main back straight. Overtaking was going to be the big talking point, and I put out there that Saturday was going to rain, which it did. So after practice, on the Friday, all that information was irrelevant because Saturday would just rained all day. Light rain, but just freezing cold, no track temperature, no UV, and just that nuisance light, continuous rain that
Yeah, constant.
gets into the core of your being, and it's just that damn cold. I learned very quickly, so did the drivers, that you're not going to make a move just on one corner. You're going to set it up. You're going to have to hang tough for like four turns. So two, three, four, you're going to be side by side. You get an overlap coming out of down the main straight, hang a lefty. If you can get your overlap done in the exit of two, you just have to hang tough and fight from turn to like turn to turn to turn to turn, side
Yeah,
by
through that little
side.
snake section.
And then eventually, when he spits you out at four, five, if you're there on the inside, you can try to force your way through by hitting a few doors and make the move stick. Still, no guarantee you're going to make it stick because they're going to come back at you at five and try and get back under you. But that was some real racecraft from everybody there because I thought people are going to lose it across there. They're going to force each other off the circuit, but they didn't. They just bashed doors and just kept going wheel to wheel. It was awesome.
Oh, it was such good races. Yeah, just watching them go side by side through that little section there, and just being able to do that, and then as you said, make the pass. And actually, as you said, like they're proper bumping into each other as well. Like it was proper racing. It was such good entertainment. So it was what we were wanting to see from these Gen 3 supercars, to see them kind of race like that side by side, bumper to bumper, and actually get into each other and race. And I think this is probably the first time we've seen them properly do that, I reckon.
Yeah, and this track exposed it, which is the least likely anticipation that we're going to see that, but it's turned into the best event for close quarters. I caught up with a motorsport Kiwi, Jaden, who we had last week on the potty on the preview. I didn't get a chance to lock him in tonight for the review, but we'll get him on again shortly, and he can give us his rap from his perspective because he was like a kid in a candy store because the Kiwis were
Oh
doing
yeah.
well. Matty Payne, Richie Stanaway, Woodsy,
Yeah, Andre.
Baumgartner getting the win on the Saturday, which was just an epic drive for BJR. Tell me they didn't party their heads off.
Yeah, definitely. So that was good to see, and especially the Andre wearing the number 8 on his car as well. So has a bit of sentimental value to the Kiwis. So
It
that's
does. That it does.
so that was that was definitely good to see them. A Kiwi get a win on a Kiwi racetrack with the number 8 on the car for JR, JR trophy up for grabs on the weekend. So that was yeah, pretty special win for BJR on Saturday, I reckon.
Yep, for sure. It was also the return of Brody Kostecki, the last year's series champion. It was his first round racing back in the main category this year. So he didn't do too well on the Saturday, like in quali and stuff. I think he was 15th.
Yeah, about there, yeah.
Off the pace, didn't make the top 10 for Erebus, but did okay in the race, started moving forward. That's okay. It's all good until he in the wet decided to try to push a move on Davey Reynolds and completely speared him off the circuit and copped himself a 15-second penalty. So that pretty
What?
much put paid to any aspirations of a top 10.
Yeah, so I think he still finished 11th or 12th. I'm not 100% sure, but or maybe he did drop down a little bit after the penalty was implemented. But he was up around the 11th or 12th at least.
Yeah,
So
he was moving through, but no luck on that one. Just ran out of corner. He ran out of brakes
yeah.
and ran out of corner. Went in so hot trying to be getting on the inside of Dave. But that's the type of racing we'd seen all day in the wet. Now,
Yeah.
how about that start? How about like the launch off the grid with that hookup from Timmy Slade on the second row just came blasting through into that gap that was there, then wasn't there between
Oh
Brown
man,
and
like
Cam.
I was watching it and I was sitting there and I didn't even know what had happened. Like I didn't even realize that Slade had come through so fast, and then all of a sudden I just, there's two cars spearing into the wall, and I'm like, what the happened there? Like, absolutely no idea what happened. Then they show you the replay, and yeah, that start from Sladey, just absolute steamroller start, just tries to plow through the middle of Will Brown and Waters, and Waters being, kind of unchecked, probably couldn't see too much in the spray and everything, just kind of turns, he comes
In the
left and
spray,
Sladey's
he
going
was on
right,
pole
so
position. He had no spray.
behind the spray behind, like the visibility behind him, not in front of him, plenty of visibility in front of him, but the visibility behind. And yeah, he tried to come left to cover it off, but Slady was already there, and Slady was coming right, and next thing you know, they're in the wall. So that
The
was
only one who narrowly survived all of that was Will Brown, because, like you say, as they both had tire spin off the start line,
yeah.
they're going down both sides and they're sort of coming together as they're both trying to get a line on turn one on the
Yeah.
left-hander. So they're trying to come together to get the right sort of approach. And that's where Slade was already sort of in that space. So Brownie managed to sort of stay on the outside of all of that while Slade and Cam basically T-boned into the wall.
Yeah, well, I think he managed to avoid that pretty well. He did well. He fell back pretty quickly though, Brownie, didn't he? So after the restart anyway, because he didn't really get the, or was it after the pit stops that he
Pit stops.
fell back
Now
on the
he's,
lead? Yeah,
I think he had tire issues like in that first stint. He was, the tire wasn't working for him until he could get that tire off, and put
well,
the
after
next
the
set on, and
restart.
then he was able to start moving forward again.
Yeah, because he kind of went backwards on the restart, and then got himself, back into a decent position. I think he finished 8th, Brownie. But yeah, it was the who was at the front. That's right, the Heimgarten. I keep forgetting because I haven't been there for so long. The DJR boys, Will Brown, not Will Brown,
And Davison
Will Davison
and
and
Anton.
Anton DiPasquale. Jeez, it's been that long. I've forgotten their bloody names, but.
Welcome to a 12-round calendar, mate.
Yeah, it was good to see them back up the front again though. So,
They had proper pace all weekend.
they did, yeah. Well, Anton did take out the
The
Jason Richards
JR,
trophy for
he
the yeah,
did.
for the round win, which I think pissed off a few of the Kiwis because Andre was on for a
He
chance with it,
was.
but yeah. Yeah, no,
Couldn't put it
Anton.
together on the dry.
No, well, it was 2 third place finishes for Anton were good enough, so he got himself on the podium both days, and that was enough to secure the trophy. So kudos
It
to
was
him. A
very
Ford's
cool.
finally won something, so that was nice.
We met his mum at the circuit on the weekend. She's awesome, Anton's mum. She came over and made it certainly worth. I think she was on a girls' trip, like with a bunch of girlfriends and stuff. They're just heading off to the South Island to continue on a holiday. They just sort of wrapped it all together. I'll go see my son race and catch up with my mates, and then shoot off down, on a party. But yeah, she's cool.
Nice.
She's cool as. So that was a good weekend to come across because DJR have been in the weeds. They've been
Oh
P
yeah.
nowhere for over 12 months, and to see him
Yeah, it's
actually
been
succeed, and yeah, it was cool.
shocking. So yeah, no, it's good to see them back up the front again. Hopefully they can keep it up. So
Well, they
and
did do it in the wet and the dry.
well, that's it, yeah. And it was the whole weekend. And Barbagallo, where we're going next, is a somewhat similarish track. It's a high
Yeah, good high
degradation
deg
track,
on there
and it's a
too. High deg.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it up over at Barbagallo. So, but yeah, that was good for them. And the Grove guys, well, it was an up and down weekend, but I think they
Well,
both
Matty
done kind of
Payne was
pretty
on
well.
fire all weekend. He got pole, and he got.
He's just a quick kid, Matty Payne. So Richie's drive on Saturday, as you said, was probably the drive of the weekend. I did say Cam, but as you said, his car was a hunk of junk at the start of the weekend, and then managed to just blitz it through the field. So probably was, in hindsight, the driver the day on Saturday to come back from, especially after going into the gravel at the melee at turn one on lap one. So Richie's drive back to six, was it, I think, in
Yeah,
race one.
six.
So
Yep, six.
yeah.
From the back of the field, drove through in the wet. I mean, you look at what we said. We knew that we got four, five guys that are wet weather aquamen. So you got Brody, Cam, Chaz, Will, Richie. Like those guys are in the wet. The wetter, the better. Like they're just good at it. And Richie proved on Saturday he was the master. Cam, 100%. He drove through the field as after that. Start line incident with buggered steering, and he still managed to get back into the top 10.
Yeah, I finished eighth or ninth, I think. So
But
that was a
his car was on pole. Like he had the best car, so you'd expect him to be able to drive back through.
But it was it the best car after it had a steering wheel that was on a 25-degree angle for the rest of the
Didn't
race?
seem to
So
annoy
that's a
him. I mean, it was an inconvenience, but it didn't seem to slow him up,
yeah,
honestly.
no, you done very well. He's got hiccups. No, he done very well. So kudos to him. So Cam and Richie definitely drivers of the day on Saturday.
Yeah.
And Sunday, driver of the day on Sunday, you'd have to give that to Will Brown, 100%.
Oh, man,
So
that was some of the coolest racing I've ever seen.
yeah.
Like when we kick off, let's just go straight into Sunday, because Sunday I was having lower expectations of Sunday after watching Saturday's awesomeness that was created. Because if you think it's going to be processional, boring race, just add water, and that's what we had on Saturday, even though it was freezing cold. Sunday was going to be a dry day, which it was, and perfect weather, like glorious, like a 17, 18 degrees, overcast, sun bursting through occasionally, no wind. Just beautiful day, beautiful day. And Will jumps off the first part of that race. Next starts off next to Brody on the grid. And we're going, yeah, let's see how this goes. Because they're not going to give each other racing room like they did last year. They're not going to
No,
work together.
no longer teammates anymore. So,
Oh, mate, there was a bit of elbows out and a little bit of cop this, cop that, tap, tap, push, push, nudge you,
and
nudge me.
I'd
It was fun.
say I'd say that they're probably still two of the best, if not the best drivers on the grid at the moment. So
It was
they
cool to
are.
watch those two. Brody's car on Sunday, though, was a bit of a roadblock. Like he just didn't have the pace. He was fighting off Will as hard as he could. But he just didn't, you just see, he just didn't have the setup, the pace to actually move forward to take out, to catch Matt Payne or Brock Feeney or those guys at the front.
Couldn't get up there. But that battle with the Red Bulls towards the end of the race, that was awesome. Just watching those two go bumper to bumper, wheel to wheel for 10 laps, I think it was. They were just side by side,
Well, we'll have to
you know,
hunt him down because
neck and
once
neck.
he cleared Brody, and they both gave each other a bit of dooring as they were
No,
doing that.
it was about 5 seconds down the road, wasn't he? So,
Yeah, because
yeah.
Matty Payne was falling backwards. His balance on the Saturday, oh sorry, the Sunday, wasn't working for him. So he qualified perfectly on pole,
Yeah.
but couldn't maintain it during the race. And Brock took off. Brownie was trying to get past that mid battle pack, because that battle
Yeah.
pack, like I know we'll get to the finish, which some of the best side by side dueling that I've seen in probably 15 years,
Yeah.
where because it was continuous, it was such a long period where they were dogging each other when they got into the same patch.
Yeah.
It was like old school supercars.
Yeah, it was great.
There was a battle pack in behind them that I think it had Chaz, had Waters, Brody, LeBrock. I think Ryan Wood was in it.
Yeah, Woody was in there.
And they were all nobody's really watching that on the telly because I could see the screens at the circuit because they were all looking at the battle that was going up the front because it was totally
Yeah,
engaging.
well that. Yeah, I missed pretty much all of that pack because they were focusing pretty much solely on the Red Bulls on the
Yeah,
television
they
coverage.
were.
So,
But
yeah.
I'm watching Cam and Chaz, and they're doing the same thing. They're going side by side, door to door, corner to corner,
Yeah.
swapping positions. I'm going, oh, dudes, whoever's in the box, I split screen it. Like, you've got to
Yeah,
split
yeah.
screen this stuff because we've got the old boys. Someone's going to wipe each other out. It's Chaz and Cam.
Yeah,
They're going,
exactly, yeah.
and they are literally dooring each other as they're going from corner to corner.
Can't believe they didn't show that on the telecast, to be perfectly honest with you. I guess just too busy with that Red Bull battle up the front. But yeah, I'm always happy to watch Chaz and Cam whenever they're close to each other on the track,
Well,
that's for sure.
but also throw into the mix like the Brody and LeBrock because they were all in the same patch together. So Chaz and Cam were literally fighting each other, and they would make an overtake, and then the next corner the other bloke would take him back. Well, the next lap he'd come back and take the same spot, and he'd just push him back, and they were swapping 4 laps. It was just going continuously until one of them managed to get a break, but. Yeah, that's a racing I want to see out of this category. And if that's what we're going to get for the rest of this year, bring that on.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, I was very happy with it. So it's taken a little bit of time, but if they can keep that sort of momentum up, then maybe supercars isn't in as much trouble as we think they might be, because
Well, they
it's
still need to
been
do more races, man. I mean, having
oh,
that once every
100%.
3 to 4 weeks, I mean, come on, you get a big rush. Like, you get this massive excitement. Everyone talks about how cool it was. All the news journos are pumping out 5 articles, 6 articles an hour just on elements of how cool it was. And then we'd have this slump for the next
And
three
then it's
weeks.
dead for a month. Yeah, exactly. So, no, bring it back to 15 rounds, and I think we'll, you know, bring us back to 15 rounds, provide that
In
sort of
Australia.
level of racing in Australia. Yeah, in Australia, not overseas. And then we'll be, you know, I think they may be all right, but only time will tell, won't it? They say they're giving us more rounds next year. I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, they said 13. All that means is that they're bringing back the well, one of them is probably going to be a Singapore round, to be
Yeah.
honest. It's going to be a second F1 round, and
Who gives a
probably
shit?
I'll tell you who had a good day out. Tony Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
He was I look, I hung out with as a guest of Uncle Steve this weekend in the Red Bull garage, so I got a really good opportunity to watch how they operate from inside the garage for the weekend. I tell you right now, all you Red Bull haters out there, you just got to put your heads in. This group of human beings are just the most respectful and professional and genuinely nice people. There's
Yeah.
no arrogance or air of anger or frustration. They truly are the ultimate professional team.
Yeah.
Everybody knows their job and does it. There's no carry on. There's no kicking of cans or blowing up or anything like that. But as far as treating all of their fans and anybody else who's sort of down there, they are just 100% awesome people. So no matter what you thought about Roland and Red Bull get all their way and Triple Eight's always getting their own way, all the other teams just have to be a bit better. It's as simple as that. They are the benchmark for a reason. And it was a privilege to be able to hang around and just watch how they go about their day, and made my weekend a lot better because on the Sunday, oh, sorry, the Saturday, they had these big gas heaters in their garage, and I was hiding in there trying to keep warm because I was freezing my butt off on Saturday.
Nice. Yeah,
So,
looked pretty chilly over there, so
yeah. So
yeah.
that was way cool. So yeah, the brownie, the Red Bull show turned up on Sunday. Mate, if they're just going to do that, because I tell you, there was silence in that garage when those two were going at it. There were no team
Oh,
orders.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Nobody was being told to yield, but they were told don't take each other out. So you
Well,
work
I'm
it out. Yeah.
pretty sure the only reason there was silence is because everyone was holding their bloody breath, waiting for something to go wrong. So,
Nobody was talking, mate. Nobody was, and both sides, they're all standing just watching. They're just watching just because they have nothing they can do apart from get on the radio and interfere, but they didn't. And yeah, both sides are
And
going,
that's it.
well.
And that's what's that.
Okay, minor interruption there, the modern wonders of battery life. We just had a bit of a technical hitch, which is all good. We're back on now for part two, chapter two of the wrap up. We were just basically finishing up with Red Bull being the benchmark, and Rowan, we're pretty much in agreement that they're the team in the lane.
They are indeed, and yeah, just as before we cut out there, I was just saying it's awesome to see Red Bull letting their drivers actually go for it and race each other hard rather than calling team orders, which they're well within their rights to do within the regulations. But they've decided that they're not going to do that, and they're going to let them go for it. And yeah, it's awesome to see because they've got two absolutely gun drivers, and watching them battle it out on Sunday afternoon was just mega. So yeah, keep it up, Red Bull. It is good to watch.
Yes, we like it. Before we wrap up on the supercars thing, the thing we didn't mention, which was also part of the enjoyment on the Sunday, that pit
Started.
lane, that pit stop, safety car, the chaos of the pit stop with like 20 cars come barreling in and the lane's congested, there's no room and that.
Everyone's double parked, and there's cars having to pull out like 90 degrees into the fast lane because they're trying to get around other cars, and just it was chaos, absolute chaos.
Half a dozen cars all made contact.
Oh yeah, and there was like no penalties were handed out, which was good because there wasn't, I don't think there was actually any real danger to anyone, but there was a couple
No,
of
because
guys
it
that did
wasn't
have to
like
jump
being
out of the
shuffled
way,
out
but
into the fast lane. It wasn't being released into
yeah.
the path of cars. It was your own teammates banging into each other, trying to get into the
Yeah.
pit.
So, but yeah, no, that was highly entertaining, and a bit of comedic value for the weekend, just watching everyone try and Tetris their way in and out of in and out of their pit boxes.
Mate, it looked like the local shopping center's car park at Christmas.
It was
People are trying
properly
to get
up.
into a car space. People are trying to get out of a car space. Someone's waiting for that car space to be free so they can dive in. It was just.
It was great. It was good to see, and that was the entertainment in the pits. But we did have a little bit more entertainment when we missed off on the track as well, when Chazzy Mostert decided to part ways with his left rear wheel, I think it was. So
Yeah, that was again another like what the hell moment. That was chaotic.
and do we know what caused it? Because
Yeah,
it did not
it's
I've
cross-threaded.
The cross-threaded, was it? Because I was going to
Yeah,
say it didn't
cross-threaded.
look like they didn't get it on, because the pit stop, they didn't seem worried about it when they left the
No.
pit stop. And it was just that, it obviously the nut parted ways with the wheel after the pit stop at some stage, and then the wheel parted ways with the car not long after that.
Well, that was the official response from Waukesha. At the time, they spoke the rattle gun guy, wheel guy. He goes, "Nah, felt good to me. Like, I didn't feel anything different." And then when they looked at it later, on the spindle and everything, after they run the new wheel on it, they came out and said it was cross-threaded, so it didn't lock in properly.
Bloody hell, just more dramas with the Gen 3 wheel nuts. So
And the spindles, because they just brought the spindles back. Remember, they recalled them because it was that batch
So
that
yeah,
failed.
we'll They'll get it right eventually, I'm sure. But look, to be honest, I don't think it's going to be the end of the wheel dramas though, because there's been that many of them. I wouldn't be surprised to see another one or two over the course of the season, though, that's for sure.
Well, he managed to drive it back on
He
three.
did, yeah.
Yeah.
He's well and truly some colourful language coming out of his car audio on the
Yeah, wasn't
on the
impressed.
telecast as well, though. No, so well he was on for a win, I would say. He was definitely right up there. So
He's pushing
that.
the top, pu pushing podium.
Yep, so that definitely screwed his weekend, his Saturday, that's for sure. So yeah, tough luck, Chazzy, but he'll fight back.
He will. All right, so that'll wrap us up for the supercars. Thank you very much for Topor. You guys were awesome. Yes, you got inundated with probably four times the normal number of guests that you'd expect on a weekend. But everybody seemed to get where they needed to be. Let's move on, because there was no real other stuff. Let's move on to some other crazy racing that was on this weekend, because there was so much racing. NASCAR and Xfinity and Cup over at Talladega. So
And I love Talladega. It's one of my favorite racetracks. It's a 2.5 mile heavily banked, high banked super speedway where they're running at 180, 200 miles an hour, non-stop, foot to the floor. You do not brake unless you're coming into the pits. And it is just three wide, chaotic racing for 150 or 180 laps, depending on whether you're in the Xfinity or the Cup racing. And once again, Talladega did not disappoint. We had plenty of action and some highly entertaining racing and some great finishes again as well. So chaotic but great finishes. So Xfinity series, let's all start off talking about Gizzy because he actually done really well in both races, but the Xfinity series he was up the front pretty much the entire day, if not, middle of the pack, kind of top 15. Right up the front, pretty much all day long, and was in with a bloody good shot of victory right up until he decided that there wasn't going to be much fuel left in the car. So that was unfortunate for the Giz. But other than that, very good weekend for him. That Giz running out of fuel, boy, did that cause some shit.
Yeah, he wasn't the only one that ran out of juice though, like on the overtimes, because they had a couple of overtime
They
shots
did,
at
yeah.
the green white checker, because my theory is holding up. My new theory on how this works. Stage one, yeah, that's all pretty. Stage two, yeah, that's fine too, but you really got to focus on the last 20 laps, because that's when everyone's just sending it, and just they're running out of juice anyway because of these extra times, extra times, extra times.
That's it. Yeah, the
So
thing with NASCAR is you put it on in the morning while the first and second stages are on. You do a bit of cleaning, you get your things done you need around the house while you're listening to it. So if anything happens, you can run back to the TV. And then soon as the second or the third stage starts, the final stage, that's when you plonk your ass down in front of the television and sit and watch.
yeah, you just need to look like 40 laps in. You want to watch like 35 to 40 to see who gets the stage points.
That's it.
And then he can bugger off because they go to like 500 ads, and there's a competition yellow anyway after the stage is done, and
Yep.
then you come back in a few minutes, and then we go green again. Speaking of stage one though, Allgaier, who was in for that $100,000 dash for cash, he was one of the four guys that was up for it. The last lap of the stage, going for stage points, just lost it down on the infield and T-boned head on into the infield wall. Like
He
he
actually,
properly nailed it head on.
I think he actually got hit by someone, but he yeah, copped a bit of a whack on the rear fender, and that just sent him straight head on into the inside barrier. And unfortunately for him, where he hit it was a section of the barrier where it just juts out on a bit of an angle, and he
Yeah,
hit
because
that
it's an
angle.
access point. It's a vehicle access point. So the whole fence sort of bends, and it just happened to be basically head on. It wouldn't have been a glancing blow.
No,
It would have been a
that was head
glancing
on.
blow if he was coming in on a straight wall on the normal line of the wall, but nah, head on. Holy hell, that was a
Head
hard
on, and
hit.
well, it was a big hit. Like even the safer barrier went all the way in. Like it was that heavy that it completely compressed the safer barrier and just totaled that car. Like that is a write off that thing. So they'll be building the new chassis for next weekend, that's for sure.
Did you? Well, they've got five cars, mate. The other car's already there. But
Well, yeah.
did you hear the radio call he put to his crew chief?
No, I didn't.
He's gone, I'm on
Oh, I'm on
fire. I'm
fire.
on
I'm on
fire.
fire.
I'm
Yeah.
getting out.
Yeah. Which,
I had to double check to make sure the car truly wasn't actually on fire. No, it wasn't on fire, but he just pulled the Ricky Bobby out.
No, he was. It did actually catch fire. So it did go out, but if you watch the replay, just as he after he hits the wall, there is flames coming
From the
out of
engine
the
bay.
engine bay. Yeah. So he was actually on fire, but I thought it was pretty funny that he I'm on fire, I'm on fire. But so yeah, that gave me a bit of a giggle, that one. I just went, ah, oh, Ricky Bobby.
It's just because it's Talladega. It's just because of
Yeah.
that. But good
What he
old
should have
Sieg.
done,
Good
he
old
should have got
Sieg.
out of the car though and just given a little roll around on the ground just for effect, I think. So yeah.
Well, did you see that YouTube clip I was looking at the other day that had one of the Thai guys who literally was on fire with a fuel spill? He's engulfed in flame, and then his actual race suit's on fire. He goes over to the fire marshal and goes, "Can you just put me out?" So they spray him down with the extinguisher, goes back, grabs the wheel, puts it back on the car, and then they send him off. Yeah, that's hardcore.
They're a special breed, the NASCAR pit crews, that's for sure.
Well, you're in a fire suit. It's like, what are you going to do? Burn me? I'm in a fire suit. Just put me out. I've got to put my tire back on the car and send it.
Off we go.
Off we go. No panic. But good old Sieg, the winner for the Dash for Cash, Ryan Sieg from last week. Remember last week he lost the win by a
Yeah, by point
0.0002?
zero 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 two of a second.
Yeah. So he ends up winning that $100,000 this weekend. So that sort of helps ease the loss from last week.
Little bit of a consolation prize for him. He'd be happy with it. Well, consolation prize. He didn't get the race win, but he got the
Nah, he's
$100,000,
got
so he'll
100K
take
just to go up and turn
it.
up and play. So that was way cool. Jesse Love was a winner. He had his win there, the young bloke. Is that
I
Denny
think it was
Hamlin's
his
teammate?
first, not sure, but it was his first win in the series, so that was good for him. So he's been a runner up a few times, but that was his first victory. So yeah.
And he had a great, especially on that restart, the final restart, the eventually
Yeah.
final restart. He had a bit of work to do to keep that. So the Xfinity was way cool. Big fan of that. I'm learning more and more each week. And we move over, pardon me, we move over to the Cup race on yesterday, where the big boys come out with their big toys. And
And that was a very entertaining race once again. Bit meh for the first two sections. Again, there wasn't too
that's
much
because they're
entertainment,
all
but
fuel conserving now. The strategy is to only run 50, 60% throttle. They don't go wide out. The Xfinity's just go foot to the floor, send it, and we're going to race as hard and fast as we can. The Cup boys are going, well, we've got a strategy here. We're going to have to wait. It's got 500 miles to go, and we're going to draft and just keep it tidy and then try to save as much as we can to get a shorter pit stop. And we might be able to undercut because we know there's going to be cautions coming on later. So
Oh
they
yeah.
actually don't go flat out.
No, they're generally at about 60-70% throttle for the vast
Not
majority of
even.
the start of the race. So the thing is that's ridiculous, isn't it? They can only be at like 50-60% throttle, and they're still doing 170 miles an hour at
Yeah.
50% throttle. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, they played it safe towards the end, but then once again all hell broke loose at the end of that race as well. So Talladega done Talladega things.
Well, it started with the Toyotas all working together, didn't it?
That's right. Well, that was the first one, because their strategy, if they hadn't have messed up royally, that strategy was amazing, because they all came in and pitted, and they were about a second lap faster than the rest of the field, so they were massively gaining. So when the rest of the field pitted, if it had gone under green, they would have been streaks ahead. They would have been 10, 15 seconds up the road in their own pack, able to keep speed,
You
and
know
would
what?
have
You know what their
dominated the
strategy
race. So
was? Denny Hamlin was talking today on his potty. Like I listened to it today, but the one like he recorded it 3 hours after the race, right? Their plan as a group was, we know we can do 40 laps wide open, foot to the floor, no lift, 100% throttle. We can do 40 laps. So when there's 40 to go, we're coming in regardless of what's going on, because we can run the rest of the race. Everybody else is out there fuel conserving, trying to drop off, so they can do a short pit stop at the end and maybe undercut and get some track position. When the cautions happen, there's been no will. They stay out. They don't come in again. That was their entire plan, and it worked. And well, it worked because Reddick won.
Well, it did, yeah. So they got the win, but there probably could have been six Toyotas in the top six, but there was only one of them because
One,
four of them didn't finish the race. So
because like they kind of took half of them out themselves.
they did, yeah. So coming, I think it's turn one and two. I think it's turn one and two. There's a tunnel that goes underneath turn one and two, and there's a big bump in the track. And so they're all going along. And what happened is one of the guys about mid-pack, when he's gone over that bump, he's got a little bit squirrely. But as he's got a little bit squirrely, the guy behind him's bumped him, which has pushed him into the car in front of him, and they've all just gone fucking everywhere. So,
Yeah.
and
So it would have worked if they could hold it together.
yeah, so all of a sudden their little plan just didn't go quite to plan. And but as you said, it still worked out because Tyler Reddick did eventually get the win in one of the Toyotas for
Yeah, care of McDowell's magnificence on the
oh
last
yeah,
lap when he's trying to
that's
block the
it.
high, he's trying to block Keselowski from the fence on the top of the bank, all the way back down, sweeping down to the yellow line,
You
unsettled
go
his
back,
ass, and then all hell broke loose. It's like 400 cars in a pile up.
go back and watch any Talladega race from the last 10 or 15 years, and that is the bog standard move for the leader of the race at just about any Talladega race over the last 10 years, I reckon. It's just they're gotta do everything they can, and they will just swerve over the track, and it always ends the same way with cars all over the
Yes.
joint and upside down. And this is why I love Talladega, because watch the last five laps, and you're probably going to see a car on its roof, and you're going to see about 15 cars just chewed to pieces. And it's going to be exciting, that's for sure.
You said that last week, mate. You said exactly the same. And yes, it's exactly what happened. Corey LaJoie literally got on his roof.
He did. Well, he finished the race on his side,
He
so
finished
he,
his race sliding for 200 meters up against the fence on the side of his car. But before that, he was actually upside down because he had another car underneath him in the pileup that ensued when McDowell lost it and started the chain reaction behind him with about 20 cars all just
I've
piled into each
actually
other.
watched that replay because I'm trying to figure out, because he was on his lid, and then
Yeah.
somehow he ended up going from on his lid back to on his side, and I still can't, I haven't been able to see how it happened because he's
The
gone.
car that he was rolling over on top dropped out from underneath him, the red and white one.
Oh, okay. The
So,
number four.
because there were two cars up in the air, because it was getting tunneled underneath. That
Yeah,
car
one of them
sort
was
of moved
underneath him.
down. He's got wedged between the car that dropped down as the car in front fell off
Oh, and
his
that's.
nose, and the car that was on the inside of him held him on his side. And
Put him
basically,
back
they
onto his
both
side.
drove down together and he just drove him down the wall as they were locked.
That was just ridiculous. And then he crosses the finish line on his side, and then finally gets off the wall and does a little barrel roll and pops back onto his wheels and
Ends up
goes,
on his wheels.
well, that was fun. I think he still finished top 15 as well. So
17.
17th,
I
was it? There
think
you
he
go. I
ended
knew
up
it was close.
17. At the end of that, by I mean that's the most spectacular finish to a race. I've seen cars spinning out across the finish line in plenty of races, and that's fine. You just spin, but you're on your four wheels. This dude is he's on his door sideways, sliding on the side. That was.
I reckon there's probably, I could probably think back, couldn't recall exactly when, but think back to at least another three or four times when a car's finished on its roof or upside down, or on its side, at Talladega. Like, it happens so often, it's not funny, it's ridiculous.
That was way cool.
Tyler Reddick scraped through Brad Keselowski. Poor Brad Keselowski thought he had that win in the bag after McDowell wiped himself out on his front end, and he thought, I've got this. And then Tyler Reddick's just absolutely kept his foot in it, just went, oh shit, I know that it's going crazy up in front of me, but he just absolutely planted his foot in it and just ripped out from behind. He actually clipped the bumper of Keselowski as he was coming out. You can see it takes the rear bumper and clips the rear bumper of Keselowski's car and just blitzes past and steals the win out of nowhere for Toyota and 2311 Racing. So Michael Jordan was in the in the pit lane, a very happy
Yeah,
man
that's
after
right.
that. So
That's
yeah.
right.
So well, the car, it was actually the Air Jordan car. So he was he was very happy to see the Air Jordan car blitz through for a win. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
I think LaJoy might be knocking on Michael's door. You want some real air? Come and stick your thing on my car because I got proper air, mate.
But
Can't wait. I haven't had a chance because I've been so busy getting back from New Zealand that to listen to Stacking Pennies yet. Corey's potty after that weekend because I am just hanging to hear his point of view, his perspective of that last
you'll
lap.
be interesting. Might have to put that one on a bed tonight, I reckon. So
100%. So
we'll see
anyway,
how
that was
that
cool.
goes.
That was a NASCAR standard NASCAR thing. It's really strategic for the first two thirds of the race. Coming to the end, you're basically buying a ticket to the last 10 laps.
Yeah,
And
and then
if you're still alive, then it's a free for all.
it is indeed, and that's the joys of Super Speedway. Next weekend we've got the pretty much the exact opposite. We've got Dover, the Monster Mile. So someone that doesn't really know NASCAR too well, Dave, you'll
I've got
really
no
enjoy
idea.
that one. So
I've got no idea. I don't even know where Dover is.
so Dover's known as the Monster Mile. The logo or the mascot for the track is a gigantic rock monster where there's actually a big statue of it, and that's the trophy you win as well. But it's known as the Monster Mile because it's got high banking in the straights and the turns. You can go two or three wide, and it's just a hectic racetrack. So, and when shit goes wrong there's not a lot of room for cars to make it through. So it can generally end up with a decent pile up or two as well.
Well,
So
the
I think
thing
you'll
this year that I've been paying attention for the first time, and I've seen some short tracks. I've now seen the Super Speedway and the miles or the mile tracks,
Mile and a half, yeah.
half mile. Well, what's this one coming up? Mile and a half?
No, it's a mile. The
Is this
Monster
one's a mile?
Mile.
Yeah, and I think they're completely different animals, right? Completely different products, completely different beasts.
100%.
The short track, 22, 23 seconds a lap, narrow. You can only run two lines. There's only space for two lanes. Talladega, you can go four wide. You can run four lanes if you choose, but three seems to be the plan. And it's a lot more strategic with if you want to go one out, you're cooked. Like you just hung out to dry. It's not going to work. And the difference between the way the Cup and the Xfinity guys raced were worlds apart. That
Oh, yeah.
last finish towards the Xfinity where everybody was just counting down laps, they were all single file. Nobody was going to make that second lane on the low side to start the second lane to push forward. They were just waiting. So they had 30 cars in the single line up on the fence. And I'm going, come on, boys, got 8 laps to go. Somebody has to make a break. Somebody has to go first, and everybody else has to go with him. You can't just leave a bloke to hang out. Because he's just going to go backwards. If you all want to move up, you can't be in this conga line for the next 8 laps.
That has actually been the strategy before these new generation cars came out. Anyway, that was a lot of the time the strategy, even in the main series at Talladega. They'd all be single file, and then with about 2 laps to go, just hell would break loose, and they'd spread out across the track, and everyone would go. You could go from 40th to first if you got the right run, and it'd just be single file, 3 laps to go, boom, cars everywhere. And that's when the action really takes off. So it's a strategy that's played out in the main series before. But yeah, I think with these new generation cars, it's a bit harder to do it with them. So you kind of got to
You need
race
to
two or
work for
three
someone.
wide.
Yeah, you need to work. Need to work. You need someone to push, work together, and then you guys can work it out with 2 laps to go. Like you want to pull out, go for it. But you got to work together. Otherwise, if you're not on a train, you're nowhere.
Exactly.
So I'm enjoying NASCAR. I mean, this weekend's been fantastic. I've loved supercars. I love the product they put out. I love Talladega because that's just like it's chaos. I'm in for racing
Yeah.
chaos as well as the stories and the fantastic racing. And then we also had F1. Speaking of a bit of chaos as well, just if we hadn't have enough racing this weekend.
We did indeed. So F1, it was actually a pretty entertaining weekend. It was obviously the Max Verstappen show as always with the winning, but the Friday kicked off, or yeah, Friday kicked off qualifying, and it was started to rain, or got a bit wet for quali for the sprint, rather the sprint qualifying on Saturday, and that really mixed the grid up a little bit. So we had there was cars going everywhere. Lando Norris, I think, pinched pole position. Finally, he actually what happened was he had his lap time taken away from him, which put Lewis Hamilton on pole for the sprint race in the Mercedes. And but then they put his time back. What they'd done, they took his time away for track infringement because he went wide on the final corner the lap before he done his fastest lap.
Oh,
And so
that's
what they'd
right.
done,
And he was gaining an advantage on the next lap because of the infringement on the previous lap.
But then what McLaren done, McLaren went down to the stewards office and said, well, hang on a second, he was actually in the gravel when he went wide on
They
that lap
proved that his
beforehand.
time wasn't improved on the next lap.
Yeah. So they said there's no way that he's gained an advantage by going off the track and going into the gravel because he actually lost speed. So where he'd actually gained the time on the second lap was in the other parts, the second and third sector of the
Yeah,
track,
that's right.
rather than the first one. So they, you know, all of a sudden Lando goes from like seventh or eighth and then just goes boom, straight back up to the first again. And it had finished and everyone's going like, what the heck's going on? And then they, you know, finally spoke about why it happened. And poor Lewis was probably a little bit upset. It would have been his first pole position in quite a while, even though it was only the sprint race one, but still started
Oh,
on the front
who
row.
knew
But
Lewis was going to get upset because he didn't win something? Who knew?
exactly. But it's been a while, so I think it's been exactly 50 rounds now since Lewis Hamilton won a race, so or done anything of note. So it's been quite a while. But that was the entertainment for the weekend. Alonso is still doing Alonso things, even though he's about 473 years old. He was very, very fast in both the sprint qualifying and the normal qualifying. Put himself on the front row for the main race, and
Did I see there
was
was
in
a contract extension coming for
the yeah. So
Alonso?
well, he's re-signed again for 2 more years, so he'll be with our Aston Martin till the end of 2026 at least. So he'll be,
He's
I
never
think, by
going
the
away.
no. So by the time if he does, because it's still a big if, chooses to retire at the end of this contract, he'll be 45 by the time he ends his F1 career if he retires at the end of this contract.
Right.
So yeah, but he's still got it. That's the thing. Like, what's the point in retiring when you're still consistently putting your car up the front and you're
Well, you
still
get
able
a
to
Liam
race
Lawson
hard?
in, and
So
then you go stick a Liam
yeah.
Lawson in your car. That's the point.
So yeah, but the thing is with Aston Martin, they're a team that's building. So having that experience, that level of experience, he'll have done by the time he finishes his career, if he retires at the end, he's 450 Grand Prix. So he's done at the moment over, I think he's at just about 400 at the moment.
He's the
So
John Bauer of F1.
yeah, exactly. And that's what Aston Martin wants. As a team that's currently in the process of bringing themselves up the grid, you want a driver with that level of experience in your car and that level of expertise and knowledge of F1 to
Well, how's he
help
doing
you
mentoring Stroll?
develop your
Because
car.
that idiot is just a loose cannon still. No matter, there's no amount of Alonso help or experience that can help that clown.
It doesn't matter what you say to Stroll, he's daddy's boy. He knows his seat's safe. You can tell him, you know, you could give him all the advice in the world and he'd still be a dickhead. So he just, you know, he's in the car 100% purely and simply because daddy owns the team and he's going to give his son a drive. And
Maybe not
you
for
know,
much
he's,
longer, though.
well, there's talk about it, but Lawrence Stroll has also specifically outrightly said that as long as I own this team, Lance will have a seat at this team in the team. So the only way that this is going to happen, and there has been talk of it recently, that Aramco, who is the major sponsor of Aston Martin, is actually looking at buying a controlling stake in the team. So they may potentially get a 51% share of the team, which would mean at that point,
They can flick him.
Lawrence will still have part ownership of the team, but he won't have enough say to say baby
Yeah,
Stroll keeps the seat.
but he
So
doesn't need the money. It's not like they can buy, like they can't go, well, we're going to bail you out. We want control.
no.
Because he's
They just
like
want
the dude's got $12
no.
billion. Like
He's a
it's.
multi-billionaire. He's got more than enough money, but it's just I think Aramco wants to, you know, they're serious about making this team something. And so's Lawrence. The only thing is that he's got that, you know, he's obviously the heart's attached to Lance being his son. So that's the only thing that's really holding them back is if they put another driver in that car, they'd be competing. They probably potentially would have been second in the constructors last year and probably could be this year as well if they actually put a decent driver in the second car. So, but the reason we are calling Stroll a Muppet this time around was because the absolute idiot decided that it'd be a good idea not to actually look where he was going on the safety car restart and ruined Danny Ric's chance at points this weekend. So absolutely plowed up the arse end of him and ruined his race. So,
He got some
and
proper air. The back end of
oh,
that
like proper
AlphaTauri
air.
was about
Yeah.
3 feet in the air as you just got shoveled underneath from behind.
Yep. So
Oh, I
that was
couldn't believe it. I sat there, I was watching it going, what the hell's just happened here?
well, I actually missed it on the television. Like I was watching it, but somehow I must have looked down at my phone or something like that, and I completely missed it. And then my mate, who I was messaging while we were watching the race, he's like, "Oh, you know, think Daniel Ricciardo is gonna have to retire." And I'm like, "What?" And I rewound it back and watched it again. I'm like, "An idiot! Like, how the hell do you do that? Like everyone else, there's five or six cars, and it was actually funny thing is it was actually Alonso that caused the whole thing because Alonso locked up coming into the hairpin, which caused the four cars behind him to slam on the brakes, and everyone else was paying attention, obviously. But then Lance at the back of the train, paying no attention, looking at the apex of the corner, which, you know, under racing conditions, completely fine. You should be looking at the apex. Under a safety car restart, probably should be watching the car in front of you.
Where was George in all of this?
George, I think he was actually in that battle pack. So I think he may have actually been one of the cars that managed to pull up and not
Ah,
crash this
ah,
time.
ah.
So
So
yeah.
Alonso's brake checked George, has it? He hasn't ended up on his roof.
I think so. Yeah, I think he may have been in that battle pack if I'm not mistaken. So I'll have to watch it
Russell
again.
wasn't
But
there
yeah.
screaming. He wasn't there carrying on and going, oh, Alonso's brake checked me in the corner.
No. Well, that was Lance said that Daniel brake checked him, that Ricardo brake checked him. He's, oh, the idiot brake checked me. He's like, I'm like, no, he didn't. He was just stopping to avoid plowing into Oscar Piastri in front of him, and then didn't matter anyway because you plowed into him and he plowed into Oscar and ruined both their races.
This
So.
wouldn't be the first time Danny would have hit Oscar. Remember when he got spun out and he was parked up on the corner and Danny had
Yeah,
nowhere to
yeah.
go? That's what broke his wrist.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's it. So no, it's happened before, but that was unfortunate. So yeah.
Especially for a bloke who's under threat, like his position is under threat. And he had a DNF last round in
Which was his fault.
100%. And I still
Yeah.
say it was. My mates are saying it
Yeah.
wasn't. I'm going, are you kidding me, mate? He actually widened the apex. He
Yeah.
turned, he swung wide and he had Albon on the outside. Just didn't know. He didn't care to
Yeah.
look on the right mirror because he was looking on the left mirror. Whatever.
Yeah.
You look on both mirrors. I do. And yeah, so that's on Danny, in my opinion, the last
Yeah,
one.
that
Because
one was, but
this one was just nuts.
definitely
So
wasn't. And the team will take
yeah.
that into account because he was on for probably
But
an
do they
eighth or ninth
really?
place finish.
It's do
So,
they really? It's helmet.
well, I
He
mean, there is still people within the Red Bull thing that do very much want Ricardo racing for them. So,
mate, they are
I think.
tearing pages out of his passport.
Yeah, I think as long as he can get a result within the next couple of races, then I think he might be all right. But yeah, Liam Lawson's definitely looking like getting it, and
For sure.
at some point, another person that probably shouldn't be in Formula One is Logan Sargeant. He's only in there because they needed an American on the grid,
Well, true, and he's getting paid, so
and he's yeah, but he's literally a chicane. So he's so much slower than the rest of the field, and he's just no good. So there is actually talk, it's just rumors at the moment, but there is actually talk that if he doesn't start performing before the end of this year, that there's a young chap in racing in Formula Two at the moment by the name of Andrea Kimi Antonelli,
oh
who is
yeah.
contracted to Mercedes. and Mercedes supplies engines to Williams. He is currently 17, which means he can't race in Formula One, but he will be 18 in June this year.
So he could end up slotting in the back end of the season.
There is talk that if Logan Sargeant doesn't perform, that they are going to try and fast track Kimi Antonelli into a seat in the Williams to give him Formula One experience
Yeah,
and
right.
to then replace Lewis Hamilton when he leaves Mercedes at the end of this year.
Yeah, cool. Oh, he did well in Melbourne, Antonelli.
He did until he crashed, yeah.
Well, yeah.
So.
Sure, he crashed, but he was crashing in on a winning position. I mean, come on. It's the Casey
Yeah.
Stoner of F2. So.
No, he was doing all right. So that's interesting developments, and we'll see how that kind of unfolds over the course of the next few weeks. And I did hear one other rumor, which I only heard last night, which I want to mention, is there's a possibility, there's talks at the moment that a chap by the name of Gunther Steiner is actually interested in buying a Formula One team. So
Really?
he is apparently in talks at the moment to potentially buy the team that I've heard
Who?
is potentially VCARB or AlphaTauri. So he's very interested to buy them off Red Bull
Well,
and
this was,
start his
but
own.
this was, this rumor started 18 months ago. They were going to get Red Bull, were going to excise themselves from
So
AlphaTauri.
now they've got a potentially very interested buyer in Gunther Steiner, and he's got some pretty good backing behind him with some of his investment, buddies and things like that. And
Well,
he's
he can't go any worse than where he was last time he came in to play, so.
well, that's it. So apparently he's very serious in actually buying himself a Formula One team, Steiner F1.
But do we need, do we need, I mean, apart from the personality, which he doesn't even need to be an owner anymore, he can just be a commentator for the rest of his career, but do we need another team like another Minardi or
Well, to
another
be the well,
AlphaTauri?
you see, the problem with Haas wasn't Steiner. Steiner was actually wanting to do so many things with that team. He was sitting there telling Jean Haas constantly, "Fucking do this! Like you've got to
Invest.
do this. You've got to do. Yeah, we've got to invest. We're 10 years behind the rest of the field. We need wind tunnels.
Yeah.
We need all this. You need to actually invest in upgrades and things like that." And Haas just went, "No, don't want a bar of it." So it wasn't actually Gunter that was the problem with that team. It's Jean Haas, the owner, that was refusing to do anything that he said to make the team a better team.
But will they? But we know that this is a pay-to-play program, and if you can't three-quarter arse it. Like you can't even
No.
five-sixth arse it. You need to
No.
be all in. So you need the
Yeah.
you need those hundreds of millions of dollars a year
Yeah.
for R&D and for development and aero upgrades. And you need the right engineers. You need the right designers. Like you can't be a startup and just sort of try and work it out on the fly and just buy awesome looking uniforms and a paint job.
No, you can't. But I honestly think if he does get his own team, I think he probably would do well. Like they're not going to be winning straight away, or maybe at all. But I think in a couple of years, if they can get the investment behind them, that he could actually build a solid team, because he definitely got the brains to do it. He just needs the money and someone that's willing to spend it.
Cool. Oh well, we'll see what happens with that. We love good rumors. I'm
Yep.
not one to spread rumors.
Not at all. Never.
No. Actually, I need to do a clarification. This is one clarification. I mean, I do get what I believe that I've been told is, and I find out that it's been wrong. This is 100%. I've got to put my hand up on this one. I don't like going over the whole Erebus saga, blah 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 thing, but this is legit. Last year, when the fight kicked off between Brody and Barry and another engineer and all of that, and I put out there that it was in Anton's room, it wasn't in Anton's room at all. Had that clarified for me on the weekend, which is fine, 100%. I was told otherwise, but it seems like those guys were out at a team dinner. So just a clarification on that story. Remove Anton or any reference of Anton to all of this, jigsaw puzzle that was last year leading into this year. And that is just a clarification, which I will always put my hand up for when I get something incorrect. So we'll just move on with that. So not th that's the end of it, dude. This is it. We'll wrap this up. We've got win it or bin it, and then we can go and live our lives, and I'll cut all this together, and we'll wait for another 16 weeks for a supercars round and watch probably another four NASCARs between now and then. So what do you want to lead off with? You got to win it or a bin it?
First one I've got the after Cammy Waters calling for the safety car start in the wet is what are your thoughts on that? Safety car starts when it's wet. I say bin it because I like to see some carnage, but what are your thoughts on that one? It's a bin it for me, safety car starts.
It wasn't wet enough for a safety car start. So,
Yeah.
unless we're going back to the Gold Coast days when it was 2 inches of water aquaplaning across the track, then
Yeah, that I can understand, but yeah, that just the wetness. So,
this
Cam,
didn't need this didn't need a safety car start.
no,
It truly
exactly,
didn't. Truly
no.
didn't.
And my only other one I've got is pay drivers in motorsports. I think we've done it before, but back on Lance Stroll, it's I'm going to bin it because stuff and put someone in there that deserves to actually race and can do it.
Well, we've spoken about this many a time. It's a pay-to-play situation, and yeah, I'd like to say bin it, but teams, you don't bring the money with you. You don't get a seat. Doesn't matter how good you are. Like, there's just not enough money in motorsport from grassroots all the way to F1. So dollars will
Is what
always
it is,
beat
isn't it?
talent, unfortunately. So
Yep, that's it for mine.
okay, I've only got a few. Based around the weekend in New Zealand, A airports, it's a double-edged sword. Win it because I've got aeroplanes and I need to use one. Bin it because they're just a punish when you don't when you when you're stuck outside the check-in and you can't get in because you can't even clear security until 4 hours before your flight's sort of due. So sitting for it took me 17 hours to get home from New Zealand, and I spent 10 of those sitting outside of the check-in counter, not even on the good side where the restaurants are. So bin it, airlines, let me in earlier.
Yep.
At Taupō, the infrastructure, there's a few learnings from here. The buses, the free shuttle buses from town, which were a fantastic idea. That's the only way to move that many people easily on those one lane, one road in, one road out track, but not enough. We were waiting between an hour, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half to get on a bus to get out of the track
Jeez.
at the end of the day. And yeah, even up and down the queue, everybody was in good humor, but we were just over waiting.
It's too much. Lessons learned, though. I'm sure they'll be prepared for next year. So,
Open up more gates. It's very clear. You don't have to funnel everybody out of one gate on the track. Open up a second gate. Have two separate bus pickup areas. Not that bus from one gate goes to the next gate. Just dedicated buses for that gate, dedicated buses for this gate. People coming from both sides of the track can end up at their own gate instead of one big mega gate and one big mega queue and just put on more buses. Coffee machines. Coffee vans at the track, bin it, not enough. 45 minute
Not
waits for coffee.
enough. Oof, not what you want.
45 all weekend, 45 minute waits to get a coffee.
So more coffee vans, that's what I'm
More
hearing.
coffee vans. It's simple. By the way, I don't drink coffee, so I didn't care. But all of my other mates who did drink coffee were more angry than usual because they hadn't had their coffee and needed a coffee and had to wait 45 minutes for their coffee, which is another reason I don't drink caffeine. But in saying that, here's a big winner, the trackside food vans at Taupō in New Zealand. Some of the best food I've ever had at racetracks. It's just
Nice.
delicious. The hamburgers were proper hamburgers, man. Super soft bun, big thick Angus patty with beetroot,
Nice.
egg, lettuce,
Yeah, nice.
aioli, cheese, $13.
Yeah, love it. And $13, what a ripper, bargain. Some
$13.
like that, that's probably half the quality, will cost you about $25 at a racetrack over here. So,
100%. You get your chicken
yeah.
burgers, your chicken burger with a deep fried chicken fillet with a lettuce and a bit of mayonnaise in a
Yeah.
crappy stale bun and go, yeah, that'd be 20 bucks, thanks. 25
Yeah.
bucks. It's like, yeah,
Oh,
really? Okay,
yeah.
thanks.
Get stuffed. Yeah.
That's
No,
it for
well,
the
that's
winner
good.
of Bennett's. That's all I got. All
Yeah, no, that's it. I think we're just about done.
right, man.
Yep.
Well, all we got left to say is thank you again to Jason Sweeney from gamelife.com.au for sponsoring us. And anything that you need for your gaming and online streaming needs, jump onto Game Life, www.gamelife.com.au. Check him out. He's a local Aussie company trying to make his way in this big world of the
Yep,
internet.
no, very
So,
much so. Big thanks, Jace.
coming up, we got Perth in 3 weeks, looks like 17th to 19th of May, 3 4 weeks.
Yep.
There'll be NASCAR coming up this weekend in Dover because awesome NASCAR race every weekend, which I'm really a
Yep.
fan of. Gotta get my racing
Love
fix.
that. Yep.
We haven't got a speed series round for a little while. The it's QR coming up next, but I think it's
Yeah,
QR.
so bit of a gap in the Aussie racing. So good thing we've
Yeah.
got the overseas stuff to keep us entertained in between.
What's the next F1 track? Where are they heading off to?
Where are they off to next? Actually, I'm not
After
sure.
China.
They are off to Miami.
Oh.
So that is actually not this weekend, but next weekend. So 2 weeks' time, Miami Grand Prix. Don't actually mind the Miami track. It's a decent little track, that one down there at Miami. So
That's the one
quite.
down on the harbour, isn't it? That it's got like the little bridge and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's actually quite a it's well, I say I don't mind it. It's fun to race on the F1 game, but in terms of excitement and
Is it in the
entertainment, I don't
docks? Is
think the
that where they
race
put
was
it?
that.
Did they put it down the Dockland? Is
Yeah,
that the one?
it's around the Miami Dolphins stadium down on the like on the bay. So
Yeah, on the bay. Yeah.
yeah. So now it's a, it's a, it looks good, and they kind of try and put on a show. They don't still learning, but no, I'm still nice, and that's at least we get Formula One every couple of weeks. So I'll be looking
Geez,
forward
look
to
at
that in 2 weeks'
America trying to
time.
get as many F1 races as they possibly can, all of a sudden.
Well, they've got three now, so they're potentially looking at even a fourth, but I don't think that'll happen anytime soon. So,
Yeah, that Netflix Drive to Survive is really paying F1's bills, isn't it?
yeah, exactly. That's it. So, but that's about it for the upcoming racing. So, yeah,
Cool.
I think we're just about done.
All right, mate. Well, thanks for listening again, guys. Give us a like on the Facebook page, chat with the hat. Give us some ratings on Spotify and Google and Apple Podcast. It all helps with the algorithm. Give us 5-star ratings. Give us a 1-star rating if you like. I'll cancel it. Don't you worry about that. Yeah,
Gone.
check us out on Facey, and we'll see you on the next one. Don't know when that'll be. Oh, I know when it'll be, but I don't know what race we're going to talk about. Probably just NASCAR because and this. Basically
Yeah.
it.
So maybe we'll do it after the NASCAR and Formula One weekend. So we'll do that. What do you reckon the weekend after Miami?
I might put a few questions out there, do a few polls, might do a listener Q&A, and
Yeah,
if
that's not a
one
bad idea.
person gives us a question, we can answer it, and it can be on anything. No, I don't have a dog, so you don't have to ask that question. And yes, I do have a job. So yes, you can don't have to ask that question. But yeah, I might
He's
do put some
lying.
on the Facebook page, might put a few polls out there, get your feedback about how we're going and like as a sport and what you want to see out of sport. So I might put it together a little poll thing and then take some questions on the next potty and try and get a few more guests on. I've got a couple lined up. It's just been very busy trying to get a hold of them, but all right, guys, we're out. Thanks, Rowan, again. Thank you, New Zealand. Look forward to coming back next year. Can't wait so we can do it all again.
Yeah, all right, awesome. Cheers, guys. Peace out. See you next time.